Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Panel to Screen. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how you doing today?
You know, I'm doing good. Doing good.
Yeah. You know, I say Panel to Screen. This is actually a TV talk. You know, this is weird because, like, the movies are now the shows, and now the shows are the TV, but the TV is the streaming. And it's just, it's all the same thing. Kenobi TV talk for proper this time around. I'm Bo, he's Bell. You know, the during this series, this kind of mini series slash event, they call it a special event. We did, or I should say, I predominantly did a bunch of minis after every single episode, sharing my thoughts. It's been kind of a fun new experiment. Hope y'all are enjoying some of those for Miss Marvel and Westworld and all these kind of fun little shows and whatnot. But Bell, man, this is finally it. This is the big Kenobi in review. Now that we actually have the full picture, now that we're talking about the season as a whole, we get a chance to kind of unpack the special event that was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Bell, what are your thoughts?
So I had an interesting journey during this show, much like Obi-Wan did during the show as well. So when it started out, I was kind of skeptical about including Leia in the story as a means to get Obi-Wan off planet.
Yes, I remember this.
I really, really like the little girl who plays Leia. I think she's perfectly casted and she's super charming. And probably her performance alone is what grew that story element on me. But initially, I was kind of thinking there are other ways to do that. And there's other ways to, like, I don't know, have Obi-Wan do stuff.
Well, so hang on. Let's pause here for a quick moment, because you're right. The child that they brought in to play Leia was a fantastic casting, really got the spirit of the character. And honestly, I mean, it reminds me so much of my youngest. It's crazy. But yeah, you know, let me ask you this, though. I know that one of your main critiques was about, you know, why did it have to be Leia? There are, as you mentioned, other reasons why Obi-Wan could leave Tatooine, or are threats that are of equal or greater value than Luke and his protection. Let me ask you this, though. This is more on like a general theme that we seem to be getting from a lot of Star Wars media right now. Is we see constantly an older, generally weathered character or characters who are currently in the role of mentor or protector or paternal figure to a young child. We've seen this with Grogu in The Mandalorian. We have seen this with Omega in Bad Batch, on the Bad Batch series. We've seen this, obviously, with even going as far back as Rebels, with Kanan and the kid, Ezra. So we're kind of constantly seeing this. And now that we're here in Kenobi, once again, we've got kind of old grizzled war hero, kind of our main protagonist, who is now in the charge, or rather given the charge of a youngling of some sort, a child that they have to kind of watch over, who, different here, this is a child we actually know. And so that's kind of an interesting thing. And you know, maybe perhaps canonically challenging for some and not as bothersome as others. But regardless, what do you think about this? Is this a formula that we're starting to see Star Wars establish, or rather further through Kenobi?
I mean, it sort of feels like it, right? Like, I don't have a lot of experience with that. Like, my most exposure would be with Grogu and Din Djarin, The Mandalorian. Because I didn't watch Bad Batch. I haven't watched all of Rebels. I haven't seen all of Clone Wars. And I guess you could say, like, Ahsoka Anakin is a similar kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah. Although, I don't know. They always had more of a brother-sister relationship, whereas I feel like there's more something paternal with some of these others, yeah.
Yeah, again, I haven't seen it all. But yeah, I mean, it kind of feels that way, right? It kind of feels like that's sort of the route that they're going. I think for me with Leia, what it was is that, you know, she's a princess on Alderaan, and that kidnapping scene was just so goofy, so bad that it just, you know, it just completely killed my immersion into it, right? And it's like, there's nobody watching her. Like, how these people get on planet? Like, all this kind of stuff. It just killed my immersion. Like, it would make so much more sense if it was anyone else, you know. It just hurt my brain trying to, like, you know, think of how all this incompetence, this you know, a comedy of errors happened to allow the princess of Alderaan to get captured by a Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Well, I mean, like, and you wonder how Alderaan got blown up. Okay, this makes a lot more sense. Okay, think about it, Belle. The Death Star is giant. It is slow moving. You know what I mean? Like, literally everybody on the planet died. Like, a big space Earth killing machine comes at you slowly the entire time. You've got time. You've got. You know, they could have mounted.
You can launch some ships.
Yeah, get some ships out there. Get them, move them off. Like, come on. This Bail just kind of sit there and took it.
And I'm just saying,
Alderaan, man, that seems like a choice. Okay, like, the fact they got blown up seems like a choice.
Just, you know, just standing there, like, on the surface with your arms on your hips, just staring at the Death Star going, come at me, bro.
All right. Sorry. But yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Not exactly the best defenses active on Alderaan, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, but, you know, Alderaan is peaceful. They have no weapons. That's what Leia said about them. But, like, you know, even still, a peaceful planet would understand that there are dangers in the galaxy, especially after a galactic civil war just happened 20 years earlier.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
and the leader of Alderaan was in that galactic civil war. He saw what happened. But anyway, all that aside, like, it was really immersion breaking, I think, for me. And it was just so goofy and, like, really not shot well, and just, I don't know, like, so again, the little girl who played Leia was wonderful in the role, and that's what kind of brought me to it, you know, and being okay with it. But, like, the beginning is just rough. Like, I think I would skip the first, I don't know, three episodes if I watched this series again, just because they didn't have a lot going for them. But once we sort of get into the essentially Jedi Underground Railroad stuff,
yeah,
that's when it starts getting really, really interesting. And, like, I feel like there could have been a way to get there without having Leia. But, like, again, though, that's the crazy thing about me is, like, at the end, when like, those last couple episodes, like, that relationship between Leia and Obi-Wan is just so pure and so wholesome that overall, I'm okay with it. Like, I was okay with it. I probably still wouldn't watch maybe the first one or two episodes if I rewatched it again, just because they're just, I don't know. There's parts of them that are great. There's parts of them that are great. Don't get me wrong. But just the Leia stuff about it just irks me. I don't. Yeah.
Wild. Okay. So, I mean, like, a couple things here. First off, I mean, like, yeah, there was some great moments that, for one thing, there was the Seth Rogen alien. Which is, it's wild because they didn't even have to use any prosthetics. I mean, look, you know, you just get Seth Rogen and
have. You're talking about the guy with the Empire sticker on the back of his truck.
Yeah, an Empire sticker on the back of his truck. Yeah, dude, like, I was like, I feel like I've been in this Uber before. Like,
you know, like, oh, I certainly have.
Like, there's like, oh, man, I actually really appreciated that, because more often than not, we always see, you know, Empire evil, Rebels good. Right. Yes. Good. But here's the thing, like, the entire galaxy, like, the complexity of the galaxy, there were pro-Empire people, you know, that were, like, not just stormtroopers, that were just, like, everyday citizens. And I think, like, showcasing that and showcasing somebody who's even like, yeah, you know, I just got these two weirdos in the back. You might want to just check them out. you know, I think that was good. And again, props to phenomenal casting. Seth Rogen, you don't even have to put a thing on his face. It's just there he is.
Honestly, right there. I didn't know that was Seth Rogen because I didn't hear him laugh. So
I guess I'm assuming it was Seth Rogen. It sounded like him.
I don't know. But my issue, though, I have this problem with a lot of some of the newer Star Wars stuff. Like, it was a big issue that I had with amongst other things, The Last Jedi. Star Wars for me has always been a fairy tale of good versus evil, right? It's a space opera fairy tale of good versus evil. And when you start, like, you know, making stuff ambiguous where, like, Finn all of a sudden is like, I don't want to be a bad guy, and he decides not to be, then you have to wonder, okay, well, like, when they blew up the First Order base, how many potential good guys did they slaughter and stuff like that? Like, Star Wars isn't a medium for telling those kinds of stories.
I disagree. I think it can be. I think like diving directly into those complexities can be a real, like, Star Wars can be a great place to do that. And I think it's not even just the prequel or the sequel trilogy, man. I mean, like, the Clone Wars cartoon series dealt a lot with heavy issues of, hey, clone troopers, that's kind of slavery, right? Like, there's a lot of like concepts that they don't go as deep as they could because they only lightly touch on a lot of that stuff. But there's a lot of complexity at play that they also don't fully shy away from either. And I think that Star Wars is a great universe to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, I don't know. It seems like not diversion, but I don't know what the word I'm looking for is.
I get that you like the simple space opera fantasy, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with
that. Because that's what it was. Like, that's what 1977 Star Wars was. Space opera.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And even still, even with Empire and Return of the Jedi, like, there's not this sort of, like, ambiguity about it. It's good versus evil.
Terminator 2 or Terminator 1?
Which one do I think is better?
Yes.
Like, from what kind of standpoint?
Well, okay, this is, I guess, to some extent. Did you enjoy Terminator 2?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, but the reality is, Terminator 2 is an action movie, right?
Yeah.
Action adventure time heist type situation. Well, not time heist. What kind of time heist? They got to steal life.
Well, like, the Terminator is more of like a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. This is my point. So the concept, the original, like, story was a horror movie, but the franchise became more of an action franchise. Now, for better or for worse, for various different properties that are out there, but regardless, it's now an action franchise. But the original source movie was originally a horror movie, but it was able to grow and become something beyond what it was originally. Star Wars is the exact same way. Yes, at its core.
Well, you're conflating two different things, though, because like, Alien is a horror movie. Aliens is a sci-fi action movie.
Right. Right.
But that's changing genre. And that's fine. Changing genre is fine. You can have a horror movie in the Star Wars universe. That's fine. For example, Bo Crutcher, one of our mutual friends, sent me a short film that some people that he knew did, where it's basically stormtroopers in the Forest of Endor at night running away from murderous Ewoks, and it's terrifying. and it works.
That sounds hilarious.
it's wonderful. But that is a genre swap. So the difference, like to be similar, would be like if in Alien, right, it's a horror movie and the aliens are obviously bad and the company is obviously bad, and the next one would be like, there's a good character in the company and the aliens are actually something really, really good, and or like, yeah, some of them can be bad, but some of them can be good. And it's like there's what if a xenomorph is actually, you know, has the potential to be an ally to the company, and the company, you know, they're not all bad guys, and so, you know, the ambiguity there doesn't belong, because like the story that the movie's trying to tell is that these people are bad and what they're doing is bad, and we don't need ambiguity in there to say, well, maybe they could be good.
I mean, I think the core theme of Star Wars has always been that redemption is possible no matter how bad you are. So the notion that, like, that you don't have to just be Darth Vader to be able to be redeemed. Yes, even a stormtrooper can be redeemed, but that also doesn't mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that choice, and that's the other thing too, right? All of these series have kind of a critical choice that's brought before one of the characters. And this one, it was Reva as opposed to its main character. So that was kind of interesting, is that the choice itself was given to the villain. But regardless, like that's always kind of a quintessential moment in every single Star Wars. That's core to what Star Wars has always been, I would argue. But anyway, let's get back to Kenobi. So, first three episodes, not exactly your favorite. You liked it better once they got on the underground Jedi Railroad.
Yeah. I think like once the story started hitting that point and started getting into a stride, that's where we started to see more Star Warsy stuff, in my opinion.
What about the Inquisitors? What did you think of them?
So I don't have a lot of context with the Inquisitors. Like I know they were a thing in the lore, and I know they're a thing in Clone Wars and Rebels and all those different shows that I haven't finished watching. I thought it was like a, you know, obviously the Jedi were hunted down, and obviously they needed, you know, Force wielders to do that, and so they needed dark Jedi. I thought Reva's storyline was awesome. I know a lot of people have been giving her flack and stuff like that, but I thought that was a really interesting way. Like she was a youngling that wasn't killed by Anakin, and she's using that revenge and that hatred to like drive her to the dark side to ultimately try and kill Anakin. I thought that was a great little story arc, especially like when Obi-Wan says, it's like, you're not bringing me to him. I'm bringing him to you. Like I thought that was cool. That was a super great moment. And she has a redemption arc in it as well, you know? And so like, I thought all of that was fine, and that was great. And I like that. The other Inquisitors, like what happens to them? Who knows? The only one I cared about was Reva, because she was the only one that was remotely interesting.
Right.
The second sister, the Grand Inquisitor guy with the lines on his head, whatever. I don't care.
I know what happens to him.
Yeah, he supposedly dies in another show.
I
knew that. And so when he got stabbed in like what, the first or second episode, I was like, there's some nerds are gonna be mad online.
It was almost as if 1,000 Twitter voices were crying out.
But for me, I didn't care. You know, even if they had broken canon right there, I didn't care. But like, you know, he came back and you know, whatever. But like, I thought that was. She was the only one that was interesting to me, and her story made sense. And the fact that she couldn't kill Luke because she refused to become what Anakin had become.
Right.
Like, even though she had used the dark side to progress to where she was, she still couldn't jump over that ledge. And I thought that was good. Again, that's bringing up, you know, the redemption thing that you were talking about earlier. And, you know, something that I think I would argue was added into Star Wars post its original 1977 release, but it's that's the same kind of, you know, not necessarily genre change, but sort of storyline expansion that happens with series like that. I would love to see George Lucas's original spec that he had before gaining a lot of money and stuff.
You're such a purist.
I am. I'm sorry,
man. I do have to make one little comment here, which is in the finale when she buries her lightsaber, like I'm like like very shallowly in the sand. I'm like, kids play out here.
Like, I was like there are so many lightsabers buried on Owen Lars's farm. Some dude, like, you know, 50 years in the future, is going to have a metal detector out there, right, and this, like, ruined old farm and find, like, 15 lightsabers.
That's, you know what, that's how the Inquisitors actually got them. You know, when they found, like, all those lightsabers are, like decorating out their throne room. It's like, did you kill all these, I need 12 more Jedi hunted down. Like, oh, guys, we are so behind on our numbers. Hey, just head over to Tatooine. Like, just, like, move some sand around. You can typically find a couple there.
Look, I found 8 last week. 8. just buried on this farm. It's crazy. Go to Tatooine.
Oh, man.
I thought that was funny. But I love the emotional beats that they pulled in the last couple episodes. I thought Vader and Obi-Wan's fight, which I wasn't expecting to really, it's weird. It's because like their meeting on the first Death Star in Star Wars is like, you know, a piece of cinema history and just, you know, art. And seeing them fight again was it was better than my expectations. I was worried about it being just like, you know, a kind of, I guess, just like actiony sort of thing that takes away a lot of meaning and stuff. But they really drove it home with, you know, the dialogue that they put in there, where, you know, Anakin was saying, "You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker, I did, and stuff like that. And so, you know, Obi-Wan's choice there, again, not to kill him, because in his eyes, he was already dead. He had given up on his friend, which was probably his big ultimate failure. And the reason why he sacrificed himself is because in the first Death Star was, you know, to sort of, I guess, pay for that failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess use that knowledge that he learned from Qui-Gon, which is cool seeing Qui-Gon, you know, props to Qui-Gon.
Oh, you know, okay. So that one, I've been letting that one kind of like sit with me for a little bit longer. And I don't really love that, actually, the Qui-Gon thing.
I mean, I honestly, if anything, it was just a throwback to the end of Revenge of the Sith, where Yoda tells Obi-Wan he's going to teach him how to, you know, commune with his old master. It's just a payoff for that, really.
Is it really a payoff, though? Like, I feel like it's a check that was cashed, and then it turns out that they put the points, and so instead of, you know, $100, it's $10. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, it didn't, I feel for the buildup, it was a little lackluster. And I would have loved more. I get it. Liam Neeson's a busy guy and he's not cheap, so that's fine. But I feel as though it would have been nicer to have more of what does that actually mean? What knowledge does Qui-Gon have that Obi-Wan is going to learn from? Like what value is there in kind of communing with Qui-Gon beyond just the fact like in the future you will need to that's my Alec Guinness voice. Hang on. I have a particular set of skills. In the future, you might need to also pop back up. And when you do it, you're going to want to do it in a desert. It might be a snow desert, but to do it just like this. Try to frame the shot just like this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and
be creepy like, about it too. Don't like see how I'm being all casual right now. Don't do that. You want to be creepy? Look,
that's a pretty decent Qui-Gon there, or the Liam Neeson impersonation.
Well, what can I say, Bell? I have a particular set of skills.
Hey-o, this guy. But you know, it was all right. I think the whole you know Yoda saying that line, "I'll teach you to commune with your old master," was just a way to explain how Obi-Wan was able to become a Force ghost, which again, sometimes you just don't need to explain stuff. The Force should be mysterious, right? Like it should be, we didn't need midichlorians. We certainly didn't need midichlorians and we don't need to know how, Obi-Wan can become a Force ghost. You know, like some things are better left unexplained.
Yeah, I was comfortable with that as well. But I mean, it is what it is. I maybe we'll get a comic book. You know, like there'll probably be some sort of like sequel comic book to this that'll go into some of those things, which would be fun. But I don't know. I felt that was the only thing that I really felt a little let down by. But I loved it. You talk about the fight sequence. I loved the fight sequence between Vader and Obi-Wan. I felt like that was a good bridge. Like we needed a better bridge between the final confrontation on the Death Star and the first, you know, fight on Mustafar. And I feel like this really dealt with that. Like this really kind of told that story and filled in some pretty significant gaps in terms of these two, what their relationship were before and after.
Yeah. And I loved the scenes with Anakin and Obi-Wan training.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good stuff. So that's what I'm saying. Like this show really hit its stride and it really stuck the landing.
Yeah.
The beginning was rough. It had me questioning why even you would bring in Leia, even though the actress who plays her is so good. Like that was my concern, was that like you're getting this person to play this character and they're so good at it, but is it going to end up being a waste because the storyline's so dumb? Like that was my big concern.
Okay. And, all right. That's yeah. Okay. All right. Keep going.
She's running through the forest and she's a small kid. She can't run fast. And she these are grown men.
She has a Mickey Mouse droid too. That started to bother me a little bit. The product placement.
And like, you know, the weird green bounty hunter guy's like running into tree limbs. Like,
I don't even remember this guy. Like, I don't even remember that. Okay.
How do you not remember that?
Because the rest of the story happened.
That whole scene, it was just like the guy like bumbling around, like he doesn't know how to run.
Man, you got to let stuff go.
And it just, again, it was immersion breaking. You could have had them appear professional and have them sneak in and take her without anybody noticing. Instead, you had them chase a child You've chased children before. You have your own children. I'm sure you've chased them around.
Yeah, and sometimes I can't catch them. But sometimes I can.
But I don't know.
I'm glad to say you've never chased children, Belle, so you don't know.
I've chased my nieces and nephews, but okay. If I wanted to catch them kids is caught. I'll set phasers to stun. I don't care. You know,
no, this is good.
I'm getting
good.
That
so,
kid.
So the kidnapping children wasn't as realistic as you've come to know from your
look. When I
experience.
Kidnap kids, okay. Yeah. Oh, me man. And Ezra, we have you know. I got him on speed.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Oh, sorry. You know, I had to do it to him.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. My concern was that. Is the direction they're taking this show going to be so just goofy and ridiculous that they're wasting the talent of this young actress playing this iconic character?
They're not wasting the talent. They didn't.
But my concern was that they were, and they were going to make this like, you know, some goofy, stupid thing. And they didn't. Again, like once they got into the, Jedi Underground Railroad and all that stuff started happening and the story started moving in a way that made sense. Like the escape from the weird black obelisk place.
Oh, you're talking about Hotel Inquisitorious. No, wait, no.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Hotel Inquisitorious. It's such a lovely place. But no, yeah, the something I think is either Tower Inquisitorious or Beacon Inquisitorious, something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah. You know, it was, I was like, okay, fine, when they showed that that Reva put the tracking device in the droid or whatever, but like I'm sitting there, it's like, okay, so you got snow speeder, well, not snow, they were just speeders, and you showed us scenes before, all the TIE fighters just hanging out in this hangar, and you know they're getting out, and you're not gonna at least. You try to go after him. You throw a crate at one of them, blow the other guy up, and I don't.
She put a tracker on him.
I know. And like when they finally did that, I was like, oh, okay, fine. But
they did that same episode. Like that was the plan.
I know. But but until they did that, I was like, this is dumb. Like, what? There's so many stormtroopers. There's like, why are they letting them escape?
See, and, you're going in this with like just expecting to be disappointed. And more great TV talk up in just a few minutes, but first, we got to pay a few bills. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I wasn't expecting to be disappointed. I was enjoying the episode up, and I was like, how are they going to get out of this? This is crazy. Like, this is so insane. And I was just like, the way they set it up, I was expecting something like for example, the scene when they're underwater and like Obi-Wan has to use the Force to prevent the water from crashing in so they can escape, right? I'm like, cool. Oh man, that was nuts. That was pretty crazy, like, that they did that. So, like, but like, how are they going to get out of this? Like, this is an entire Imperial facility. Like, they don't have a ship. What are they going to do? And just the way that they did it was just, it was, yeah. It just felt very like Deus Ex Mechanica, but lazy Deus Ex Mechanica, where God just kind of like yawns. He's like, snaps his finger and teleports him off the planet.
That's I mean, don't get me wrong. The end of it where everybody was kind of popping up all over the galaxy in 5 seconds, that was a little bit like Game of Thrones season at the end of it. Like, with it's just like, this is happening on Tatooine right now. Well, let me instantly be on Tatooine right now. Like, that is not how space travel works.
Yeah, I know you know, they're obviously going faster than light, but it still takes time because, like, you know, Han wasn't in the cockpit when they're going to Alderaan. I'm assuming it's taking, you know, a couple hours at least to go from Tatooine to Alderaan in hyperspace, something like that. So yeah, like, I was okay with that, but I'm just saying there were some things that they built up to be like these crazy epic, you know, how are they going to get out of it? And just all the things that I was thinking of that would like, oh man, what are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? And then they do something and it's like, oh, well, I was just disappointed, I think, because I hyped it up in my head too much for...
You're not mad. You're just disappointed.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But all that said, I think overall the series was great. I loved seeing Ewan McGregor in the role again. I love seeing Hayden in the role again. The Vader Obi-Wan duels were great. The dialogue between them was great. Leia, the actress playing her, was great. You know, all of these things, the sum was greater than the parts, right? And it stuck the landing really, really well.
Okay.
And so, like, I think overall it was a good show. I was kind of disappointed at the beginning because it just felt kind of dumb, but I'm glad that it quickly grew past that. And at the end, like the last, three episodes, because there were six total, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was a short one. It was definitely shorter than most, for sure.
Yeah, and I think the last three episodes were really, really, really solid.
Okay.
Especially the last one. The last one was just great. So yeah, I mean, overall I think it was good. But I had issues with it. It just But yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
That's you.
I mean, like, you know, I enjoyed it thoroughly throughout the entire process. I mean, there were like here and there little whatevers, but like for the most part, I really enjoyed it. I think, you know, as you're mentioning, you are giving props to their good moments throughout. I think, you know, you have to look at that scene that Leia and Obi-Wan had where she asked if he was her father. Like, that was such a precious moment. And it really kind of got to like the core kind of yearning this child has for trying to know who her birth parents are. And then you also see in that moment kind of a revelation of who Obi-Wan is and who he was. He mentions, like, I think I had a brother. Like, he doesn't even know his birth parents. You know what I mean? Like, he was a company man through and through. Like, he was taken from Stujon at a very, very young age and has never looked back and like has no memory or connection of his parents or anything of that nature. Or like not really anyway, not any kind of significant relationship. They could still be alive. I don't know. There were so many little nuggets there they could potentially explore in the future. They probably won't, because I do think you don't want Obi-Wan leaving Tatooine too often. I think that's a well that's not a good well to go to. That being said, it could be kind of cool to learn more about the Kenobi family at some point down the line. I think they, with the, you know, Underground Railroad situation, they kind of set up a potential area, a space of Star Wars, if you will, that that is ripe for exploration through other stories and characters and, you know, however they want to do that is kind of cool. As I mentioned, one thing that I never really talked about on my minis was the product placement of the Mickey Mouse droid. I didn't, you know, when I first saw that thing, I was like, okay. All right. There's a toy. Yeah. I see the toy. Okay. And I was kind of getting past it and it was fine. It's, you know how that at the beginning of it, they always do like the mask and droid faces and everything.
Yeah.
It's the one, cause they've got Lola, the droid, and her ears are up. And when they do it real fast, it looks just like a Mickey Mouse hat. And I'm like, okay.
That's not intentional at all.
That's
surely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, on sale now at Disneyland near you. So anyway, that ended up bothering me probably more than anything else that Bell has mentioned bothered him. But it is what it is. You know, Disney's got a Disney. They're gonna get their money out of it one way or the other. But all right. Yeah. No, I like that this was an event and not necessarily a series or a movie. I think it worked in that regard. I love the fact that this was redemption for Hayden to some extent. Like, he got to play Vader in full. I mean, I just think his performance, both in costume and out of costume and in broken costume, where we get to see his face, extremely great scene. That was the bridge. This was, in my opinion, the thing that we needed more so than the Bad Batch, more so than the last season of the Clone Wars. We needed this kind of story to fully bridge the prequels and the original trilogy. And so for me, man, I think that this did that successfully throughout. And I think, yes, there are moments that are really, really solid throughout some of the more I don't know, lower key episodes or whatever it may be. But I think those are great pillars. And I think the thing as a whole is really solid. So Obi-Wan Kenobi, man, what are you giving it out of 5 stars?
I think I'm going to have to give it a 3.5.
All right. I'm giving it 4. Better than Boba Fett, but that's not saying much now that I think about it.
You mean Mandalorian season 2.5?
Mandalorian season 2.5. Yeah, it's better than Mandalorian season 2.5. No, I thought it was really great. I enjoyed it. Mandalorian probably better. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie. I think Mandalorian is probably better than this, but I still enjoyed it very much. And like I said, I think this is needed. This was needed. You know, we always say like, oh, we don't need this. This one we needed. You can argue whether or not we needed a solo film. I would argue we needed an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like this was needed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
All right, I'll take the maybe. That's going to do it for us. Any final thoughts, though, before we toss it to contact information, sign out, all that kind of good stuff?
No, I think we're good.
All right, then. You can tell us your thoughts. Head over to the Twitters, TV Talk FM, at TV Talk FM is the place to do it. You can also find our contact information at tvtalk.fm. By the way, follow Bell at Ring That Bell so you can tell him just how wrong or potentially right he was about this series. It's all up to you. His opinions are his opinions, and you must judge him for it at Ring That Bell on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. And you can't judge me for my opinions because I'm not on Twitter anymore. But you can send in your thoughts at TV Talk FM. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.